Welcome to the Broke Gun Boy Podcast.
How's it going, guys? It has been a while, and boy, does it feel good to be back. Haven't had a whole lot of time to get into this and do the podcasting thing again, but we're back, and we're going to see how it goes. So, you know, everything going on. I was going to hop in on some coronavirus stuff, talk about everything going on there, deaths, recoveries, who all's infected, but honestly, at this point, who actually cares? It's going on for too long. I don't really care for it, and I doubt you do either. So we're just going to hop right into it. I put a poll up on Instagram asking you guys what you think the third episode of the podcast should be about, and I think the choices were, I know one was prepping, I can't remember what the other one was, I think it was EDC, but guess what, you guys got joked on because EDC is part of prepping. That was a trick question. You failed. No. So we're going to hop into prepping today, and I got a couple of things that I really want to hit. Nothing too much, nothing too crazy. Not going to get into the whole Alex Jones side of prepping, but, you know, we're going to get into it a little bit. Just the basics, right? So, prepping gets a really bad rap, and I'm not that sure why, but I guess I kind of get it. You get the whole bad persona that shows like Doomsday Preppers kind of painted for the prepping community. But in reality, the majority of preppers are normal, common people. We don't have an underground bunker or millions of rounds of ammo stockpiled away. We aren't paranoid old white guys locked in our basements with tinfoil hats on waiting for the aliens to take over. No, the most of us are normal people who want to take care of the family, because being a prepper doesn't just mean prepping for the end of the world. It mostly means being prepared for everyday disasters or just emergencies that can happen to anyone. House fires, cars breaking down, tornadoes, hurricanes, losing a job, or even just a vehicle breaking down. And I already said that. Let's be real here. There's probably not going to be a zombie apocalypse. We want it to happen. But it's important to plan for realistic situations instead of your doomsday Mad Max fantasies. So basically, a lot of preppers refer to this thing called the Rule of Three. And what it stands for is you can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without a shelter in a bad condition, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. Now, the most informational or the best advice that I can give you is look at the CDC's website, and Department of Homeland Security has a website called, I think, ready.gov, and it currently says that being prepared means having your own food, water, and other supplies to last at least 72 hours, and that's better than nothing. Honestly, that's better than what most Americans have in their household, but the majority of people and, you know, experts on prepping agree that 2 weeks of essentials are needed to handle the majority of likely events. So let's just hop right into the bare necessities. You basically want just you want 1 gallon of water per person per day, and that's going to include drinking, that's going to include washing clothes or your eating utensils or things like that. You want about 1,500 calories per person per day. You want to have some kind of way to start fires if you need to, lighters, matches, just backup fire starters, anything you can get your hands on. You want to have a good source of light, flashlights, lanterns, candles. You want to have a way to have heat and AC. You want indoor heaters, extra blankets, USB fans, just anything that's good to go. You want some kind of medical supplies. I'm not a medical professional. I'm not even going to start to touch on medical supplies, because one of you will go on my Instagram and start sending me all these messages about how I'm wrong on this, and I'm not going to fall for it. You want stuff for hygiene, wet wipes, hand sanitizers. You want extra soap. You want a way for communications, like radios, one-way, or a ham radio. You want a way to have power, batteries, chargers. If you can, get like a generator would be one of the best things to do. You want to have tools on hand, like axes, shovels, gloves, wrenches, zip ties, anything that you think you might need. Now, of course, you want self-defense. Best way for that are firearms. Of course. You want to have cash on hand. You want as much as reasonably that you were reasonably able to stash. You know, if you can't afford to put $2,000 back, don't try to put $2,000 back, but try to put back what you can. You would have stuff to take care of mental health, like board games, books, movies, just stuff like that. You want to have your important documents, you know, all the legal stuff, the papers saying that you legally own the house, social security cards, birth certificates, anything that you might need. You want to have your local emergency info, just anything that's important contact information, family members, local hospitals, things like that. I think that's basically the bare necessities on it. Now we're going to take a more detailed and deeper dive into it. Now you've got seven basic categories that I've got all my stuff lined into. You got food prep, self-defense, financial preparedness, bug out bags, EDC and get home bag, vehicle preps, and first aid. And we're going to start with your food preps. Now the most important thing about food prepping is you need to store what you eat and eat what you store. If a lot of preppers online on Reddit and things like that say, buy bags of beans, and that's all you need, bags of beans, bags of rice, beans. Well, listen here, I don't like rice and beans that much. I'm not going to eat that for the next 6 months. I want to have something comfortable, something that I'm going to enjoy. Well, if you're hungry enough, then you'll eat it. Well, listen here, I still want to be happy while I'm going through the end of the world. So make sure you store stuff that you actually like and that you're actually going to eat. And make sure that you eat it. Make sure, as time goes by, that you're checking the dates. You're eating the stuff that is going out, that's getting ready to go bad, so you're not losing money, wasting supplies. The best way to start building a food prep, you know, storing food, is when you go to the grocery store, when you're buying your normal stuff, everyday stuff, buy a can of two extra. Just put that back. You know, you're not breaking a bank. A lot of people like to go out and buy those big tubs of I don't know what it is. It's just big bags of stuff that had like a 25-year shelf life on it. You don't need that. You don't need to go waste $100 to have 6 days worth of food that's going to last you 25 years. It's not necessary. You don't need to do that. You don't need to break the bank while you're doing this stuff. There's a reason I'm called the poor, or I mean broke gun boy. I'm broke. I don't have a lot of money to be throwing around on stuff. I'm taking the financially responsible route through this stuff. Make sure you're not wasting money, guys. Make sure you're not going out and buying the stuff that you don't need or you're never going to use. But to make sure you're not throwing away or wasting supplies, make sure you write the sell-by date so it's visible, so it's easily visible. You're going to see it when you look in your shelf. And like I said, make sure you eat the close-by date stuff. FEMA recommends at least 2 weeks of food in your home. I've got 3 months. I think I've added on a little bit since I made this list. I've at least got 3 months. And that's what I recommend, to try and have 3 months for everybody in the household. But that 3 months lasts for me, my girlfriend, and my two dogs. And, I mean, that's what I'm planning to feed. That's who I want to take care of. That's why you prep, is to take care of the people in your household. Like I said, it's recommended to have 1 gallon per person per day. And like I said, it's for cleaning, drinking, anything you're going to need. But have more than that, because if you're like me, I like to drink a lot of water. I'm a very thirsty person. Make sure you have as much water as you need on hand. Lucky for me, I have a stream not too far from the house that if I need to go get water, I can go get it. I have ways to purify that water. I've got a pond very close by, so I think I'm pretty set on water supplies. Now then, what else do I have? Oh yeah, the stupidest thing I've ever heard from people talking about preparing for the end of the world, preparedness. I'm not going to buy and stockpile food. I'm just going to go hunt for my food. I'm going to go hunt in the woods for my food. Well, I live in a very country area, a very hick town, and I hear that all the time, and it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, because you and the other, how many people's in this county? God, it's, I don't know, a couple of 10,000 at least. You know, there's at least 20,000 people, probably more than that. There's so much more than that. But all those thousands of people have the same exact mindset as that. they're going to go hunt for food. There's not going to be a thing that you're going to find out there when you have 1,000 people walking around the leaves in one area. You're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to hunt deer. You're not going to be able to kill a squirrel. You're not going to be able to go fish because all the resources are going to be dried up. It's just not going to happen. Prepare. Buy stuff. Stockpile it. Be smart. And that covers up for food preps. We're going to move to vehicle supplies. What I've got in mind, or some of the stuff I don't happen to need to have, and this is being a hypocrite, but you need to have your emergency information in a vehicle, you know, your license, registration. A smart thing to do would have any type of medical information you need in the glove compartment just in case there's a wreck. Like I said, prepping isn't just for the end of the world. It's also for your everyday inconveniences, your everyday emergencies. So make sure you have your emergency information in the glove box. Maps of your local area. Even if you think you know the back roads very well in your area, you don't know it as well as you do, especially in an emergency, especially at night. You do not know those roads at night. Trust me. Some way to have a window breaker, a seatbelt cutting tool. I can't find it right now. I think it's on my nightstand. I'm not going to go look for it. It's one of those EDC pins. On the end of it has a glass breaker. Very easily just tap your window with it, and it's gonna shatter. And it's got a seatbelt cutter on it. And it's also a pin, so if you need to write anything, la-di-da-di-da, you can write with it. But you need to have a way to do that, because if you wreck, something bad happens. In my area, one very late night, about 11 o'clock, this family got into a wreck, and they couldn't get everybody out of the vehicle. They couldn't get one of the doctors out of the vehicle. The vehicle caught on fire because they couldn't get the seatbelt off. They didn't have a way to get the seatbelt off. And that young lady, unfortunately, was killed after the crash, after the vehicle caught on fire, because they didn't have a way to cut the seatbelt. And that's devastating. That's not something you want to hear. I mean, that's terrible. You want to have a way to take care of yourself if you need to. Mylar emergency blanket. I have one of these in my vehicle. Summer months, you really don't need it, but why not just keep it in there anyway, just to be safe? In the winter, if your vehicle breaks down, you're stuck on the side of the road, it's snowing, something like that, it's going to get cold in there. You got your wife or whoever in the car. Maybe you have a kid in the car, maybe a baby in the car. Car's broke down, the heat won't turn on, and it's getting cold in there. You're going to want something to be able to keep them warm and keep them comfortable. Good thing to carry is an extra hat, sunglasses, sunscreen, stuff to protect you from the sun. I always have a hat on me. I always have my sunglasses in my car. I don't have sunscreen. I really need to get sunscreen in my car. But you want to have that kind of stuff in case you do have to go. Your vehicle breaks down, you have to walk for a long time, 90 degrees outside, keep that sun off of you, keep comfortable. Some jumper cables, of course, who doesn't have those in your vehicles? Some people don't. At work all the time, I have people come to me saying, hey, Jake, you got some jumper cables? One of the people out here, his car broke down, they don't have jumper cables, car won't start. I'm like, are you serious? Who doesn't carry jumper cables? So apparently people actually don't carry jumper cables. My truck came with them. I don't get it. But whatever. You want to have a spare jump battery. I don't have one of those. They're rather expensive. They're good. I've used them before. I mean, it's something you want to have. They're just kind of expensive. Toe straps. I have toe straps. I got a four-wheel drive truck, so of course you want to have toe straps, because odds are, if not just for you getting stuck somewhere, you might need to help somebody else. Road flares and blaze signals. Now, I have a road flare, and I've got a blaze signal. I don't even know what that is. I don't know why I wrote it down. Don't even know what it is. I've got a really cheap emergency kit in my truck. I know it's not the best. Get them at Walmart. I think it's a just-in case is what it's called. And they're really good. I mean, they're so cheap. Like, you can get one for $20, and it's got anything you're going to need. Jumper cables, flares, those little light-up cones you can stick out, a safety vest, and a toe strap. It's great to have those. I mean, $20, you really can't beat it. It's not the best quality stuff. It comes with a flashlight, too, by the way. It's not the best, most expensive thing, best quality stuff. But if you are on a budget, it's good to have. A spare tire. And when I say a spare tire, I do not mean one of those cheap donut tires that come with your vehicle. Seriously, dash out the money, buy a brand new real tire. It's going to pay off in the long run. I hate those donut tires. I refuse to use them. I had to put one on my girlfriend's car this week because she bought a car and the car came with a flat tire. We had to put that thing on, and it was a nightmare to drive. It was absolutely terrible. Spend the money, get a real tire. You want to have your tire wrench in your jet. Of course you do. Why wouldn't you? That is one of the most important things. Again, it usually comes with a car. I've met people that didn't have them. Why you would take that out of your car to begin with is beyond me. Usually your car comes with it. But the one that comes in your vehicle is usually absolutely terrible. It's trash. It's disgusting. It's the most uncomfortable thing to use. But if it's all you got, it's all you got. But you might want to dash out the money and get a better quality one. Oh, also, if you can, I keep it on the back of my truck. If you got a car, you might be able to put it in the trunk. A cinder block or two cinder blocks is really good to have if you're changing a spare tire. You can jack up your car and you can stick it under there. Don't scratch your paint up. You can just stick it under there. And it's really good in case the car falls. When I was changing my girlfriend's tire, I had it fall. I had a cinder block under there, so nobody was hurt. Thank God. But you want to have a cinder block to stick under there to keep it from falling on you. Or also, if it just falls when you're not under it, it's going to keep you from jacking up any of the undercarriage of the car, your axles, anything like that. It's going to keep it nice and good. You want to have tire repair kits, you know, to plug the holes if you need to. Again, if you have a spare tire, it's the best thing to do. But if it's an emergency and you're on your spare tire, you have the tire repair kit to plug the holes. A small shovel to dig out if you're stuck. I've got one. I don't have an actual shovel. I've got one that's like hand gardening tools because it's kind of hard to fit a shovel under my car seat. But just get what you can because it's going to be useful, especially if you're stuck. A windshield scraper, of course. How many times have you went out to your car in the morning and your windshield's frozen over and you don't have a window scraper because you're an unprepared loser? Yeah, that's me all the time. I finally put one in my truck because I hated it. I absolutely hate it. There's nothing worse than not being able to leave when you need to because of your windshield being frosted over. And a first aid kit. Now, you can build a first aid kit or you can buy a pre-made first aid kit. If you know what you're doing, build a first aid kit. If you don't know what you're doing, buy a first aid kit. You can buy them, again, really cheap at Walmart. If you don't have the money to dash out and get a really big, good, fancy one, you can buy a just-in-case at Walmart for $20. Again, it's not bad. And you want to have stored water and water filters in your car. Because if you need to, you have the ability to get to water. Thirsty or emergency situation. You have water, you have emergency water. I have a Sawyer Mini, and I really like that thing. I think it's really good. I also keep a case of water under my back seat, but I have a Sawyer Mini that I keep under the seat as well, and it's really good. I really like it. You can buy them. I can't remember. You can go to their website and get them. I want to say $20. I've been saying $20 a lot, though, so that might not be right. Might be a little bit more, but it's worth it. It's really good. And la-di-da-di-da, what are we on to now? Self-defense. I messed up my mic here, so it might sound like some cut-in and cut-outs, but I'm just working on it. I still don't know how this whole mic thing works. It's going to take a little bit of getting used to. But like I said, self-defense. So a .22 rifle is one of the best starters for preppers. And I know what you're going to say. It's not going to kill anybody. It's not a good self-defense weapon. Well, it may not be a great defense weapon, but it will do exactly what you need it to do. And if you need to use it as a self-defense weapon, you can. But your ammo is cheap. It's really easy to find. Usually the rifle itself is pretty cheap. I have a .22 rifle. Everyone should have a .22 rifle. You know, you need to kill squirrels, rabbits, anything like that. It's going to be great for it. Now, 9mm would be my next recommendation. And it's one of my favorites, honestly. I do not own a handgun. It's not 9mm. I just don't. I don't see the point in it. I don't like 45. I don't like 40. I don't like revolver cartridges. Like 38. I don't like 380s. I'm just in love with 9mm. You can get a 9mm rifle and a handgun, and you'll be able to get a good bit of ammo for it. Still pretty cheap ammo. Still pretty cheap guns to buy. personally, I'd recommend like a Ruger PC carbine. I have one of those. Absolutely love it. It's amazing. But if you get that and you get something like a Glock 19, I don't have one, but of course, Glocks are one of the easiest handguns to find. You find them anywhere. But because you can use the same magazine for both weapons. Really cool. So you have a ton of 9mm, ton of mags that fit both guns, you have a rifle and a handgun, and you're set. Like, seriously, honestly, it's amazing. I need to get a Glock so bad. That and I need to get a Glock and a high point, because how can you be a broke gun boy if you don't have a high point? Like, seriously, come on, dude. Now, good home defense rifle would be the next thing we're going to talk about. And, of course, the best rifle of all time is an AR-15. You can't beat it. It's amazing. It's simple. It's easy to use. My girlfriend can use one very easily, and she's not the most gun-savvy person. She's a great shot. Amazing shot. But she's not a gun-savvy person. And an AR-15 works perfect for her. A little bit long. She got short arms and get her AR pistol. But it still works pretty well. Now, mine, and hold your laughter, gun nuts out there, I have a DPMS, and it's cheap, and it sucks, and it's not the best, most reliable gun, but it's a gun, and it's what I can afford at the time being a broke college student. It's what I can afford. Slowly, I'm upgrading parts in it. I'm going to start buying Daniel Defense parts and just replacing it time over time, and eventually have a better gun at the end of it. But this is what I have. And it's not my favorite. It's not the best gun. Right now it's out of commission. Right now it don't shoot. But it's okay. It's what I got. And it'll get the job done once I get it back working again. But it's important to have a home defense rifle that, of course, needs to have a light on it. You know, it's not going to be a very well-suited home defense weapon if you don't have a light on it that you can use at night when it's dark. You don't want to start turning all the lights on in the house. You know your house the best. You can probably walk through your house with the lights off. So do that. Get you a flashlight. That way you can see anybody in the household, but keep the upper hand by keeping lights off, of course. I use a VISM Pro Series LED light on my rifle. It's nothing fancy. I think I paid like $40 for it, maybe. It's nothing fancy. I'm going to get a better light. I don't know a lot about lights, so I'm going to turn to YouTube to find out what's the best light to use. I'm going to get me a better light to go on and take something smaller. But it's pretty bright. It's got three modes on it. It's got bright, not bright, and strobe light, which I'm hoping the strobe light would just give the intruder a seizure if he breaks in the door. Don't even have to shoot the weapon, just give him a freaking seizure. I'm all set. Oh, I'm sure you heard that paper crumble, and I apologize so much. I don't know why the paper is louder than my voice is. The paper's across the room. God, I wish I could figure out how to use a freaking mic. Okay, next up is financial preparedness. And guess what? You cannot be a prepper if you are in tons of debt. You want to keep your debt controlled. You want to keep your finances controlled. You want to be financially responsible. Now, you can't prepare for disasters if you can't pay your bills. You aren't going to be stockpiling on ammo for the zombie apocalypse if you don't have a few extra dollars for an emergency car, or just emergency like a car part. You know, you gotta get your oil changed. You know, that doesn't cost a lot. Some people can't afford that. You need to stay financially prepared. Before getting prepared for the end of the world, you got to be ready for everyday disasters. Now, of course, that's what preparedness for is preparing for the everyday disasters. The average American doesn't even have enough money put back for a surprise $500 payment. And, you know, that really says something, because, you know, a spare part on a car could easily cost $500. And it's also really important to have your bills planned out. You know, stay on top of that stuff. Don't get caught by a surprise payment. You know, don't have a surprise bill that's going to destroy your entire financial situation. I've been there. I know that surprise phone bill you forgot about, here it comes. it's not a good place to be in. You want to have money set aside, set back, so if that kind of stuff happens, it's not a big worry. Now, it's really important to avoid all debt if you can, if it's possible. And today's world is hard to buy a house or to get a new car without going into some kind of debt. And I know I just got a new truck. I took on a lot of debt for that. But I'm confident enough that I can make those payments fairly easily. You know, live within your means is the best thing to do. A lot of people try and hop out of that. They try to live outside their means, and it's never a good thing to do. It's not smart, it's not responsible, and it's definitely not being prepared for the worst. You know, trying to have $2,000 set aside, like I said, the best thing to do that I found is set aside a weekly amount, right? You automatically have it deposited out of your check every week, then it's pretty easy to just forget about it. It's you don't see it, you don't miss it. It's the best thing to do. Have it set up I get paid on Tuesday, so every Tuesday I have money come out of my account, go into a savings, or I withdraw it automatically, and I just stick it in my safe. And I don't see it, I don't worry about it, and out of sight, out of mind, and I don't have the urge to spend it, or I don't miss it, which is, you know, great to not miss money. Another way to be financially prepared is take advantage of free information. Take advantage of the free stuff, like this. It's a podcast. It's free. May not be good information. I never claimed it was good information, but it is free. So why not take advantage of it? There's a lot of good podcasts out there, honestly, if you want to look into preparedness. The number one I used is Casual Preppers. Really love those guys. Cam and Kobe, they're hilarious. It's a great podcast, a lot of information, and they don't take themselves too seriously. And they're not too crazy overhauled into the prepping. You know, a lot of people get overboard into it, build bunkers in their backyard, and hop straight into it. And I really like them. Just take advantage of the free information. There's hundreds of websites you can look at. There's information everywhere. Take advantage of the free stuff. You can find articles, anything. Just take advantage of what you can while you can. I'm going to hit the pause button right there, guys, because right now, we got to pay the bills. And now we're moving on to one of the most overhyped parts of prepping, which is the bug out bag. It is one of the most overused, overcomplicated, and dramatic. I don't know. It's very overdramatic. I'm just going to keep it basic because there's no point in doing all that. Your bug out bag is for when there is an emergency and you got to get out quickly and fast. Now it's basically going to have everything in it that you need to survive without coming back to your house. So it's going to have stuff like your food, your ammo, your sleeping bags, your tarps, first aid kit, radio, batteries, you want your fire starters, survival knife, multi-tool, maybe you want a small camping axe, some kind of, you know, flashlights, you know, some cash in there, especially quarters. And the reason for quarters is, you know, an emergency situation. If you're having to move, you have to travel a lot, stores might be wiped out, you know, maybe a convenience store is wiped out. But odds are those vending machines might still be intact with stuff in them. So you can use those quarters to get your stuff out of vending machines. You want a compass. You want your local maps, a notepad and pen in case you have to write anything important down. You want stuff like paracord, bandanas, duct tape, trash bag, glasses. And it's just a small list. You can go on all day about stuff you need in a bug out bag. It's important to have one for each family member. So, you know, you don't want just you to have all the stuff for one person and nobody else has anything. Sorry, kids. You're on your own. You don't want that. You want to have one for every family member. And, of course, you don't want to have the kids carrying 50 pounds worth of stuff. You know, for kids, you might want some basic stuff to keep them busy and happy. If you're going, like, you know, if the little kids, you want toys, stuff like that, just to keep them happy. Because, you know, if you ever had to deal with a kid, have to deal with a kid on a long road trip, now imagine having to do that every day because it's the apocalypse. Wouldn't be very fun. And, like, again, we talked about earlier, everybody plans on packing all their stuff up with a bug out bag and hitting the road, getting out of Dodge, getting up and living in the woods and feeding their entire family off of squirrels and deer. Apparently, everyone has that same idea. So, honestly, good luck with that, and good luck finding a good camping spot. And next, you've got your EDC. And along with EDC, I'm also going to throw in your get-home bag, and I'll explain what that is. It's a get-home bag is something that you want to keep in your car, or if you have lockers at work, something you can keep in your locker that you can throw on your back and hit the road if you can't drive home. Or if you can drive home and it's just going to take several days to get back home, you want to have like a 3-day worth supply of stuff in there to get home if you have to. And I know what you're thinking, well, why can't I just drive home? Well, maybe roads are blocked. Maybe it's some mythical EMP, I don't know, nukes going off something, you can't drive a car. That's what that's for. But everyone's got their different EDCs. It's kind of basic for everyone. There's, you know, phone, a way to charge your phone, your wallet, some kind of utility tool like a knife or a Leatherman, or you want your keys. Again, notepad and pen, I keep one with me because I have to write stuff down at work all the time. Sunglasses, a watch, some kind of self-defense stuff, first aid. Well, you know, that's just the basics. And my EDC is, I got my iPhone 7, I got a charger, I got some knockoff AirPods, little Bluetooth headphones. I got a cheap Walmart watch. I don't know the name of it. It's really cheap, but it gets the job done. I got my wallet. I carry my M&P. Folding knife. It's just a little pocket knife, a little brown. I think I paid $20 for it. I have a Gerber Ghost Strike fixed blade, a little thing that I keep on my belt. It's kind of small. I really like it. It's not really that much of a utility knife. That's what my M&P knife is for. This thing is just more of a self-defense, plus it's really cool and I really like it. I got my Oakley sunglasses. I've got a Dollar General notepad, you know, dollar, you can pick it up. I got a pen. I keep a tourniquet in my lunchbox, and I keep my lunchbox right next to me almost all day. It's sitting literally 5 feet away from me all day. I keep some kind of way for, in case I need to, I can keep people safe, you know. I've got my M&P shield, you know, it's not the top of the line, but it's good. It's reliable. I keep it in a really crappy We the People holster because I can't afford anything better. They're all right. I mean, I don't have any complaints against them. I just like it grips it on good, but it doesn't grip it on as well as I'd like. But it's good. I like it. It's all right. What else? I think that's about it. A lot of my stuff I'm able to carry because I do have a bag with me most of the day, and that's important. If you can have a bag, then carry a bag because it makes everything so much easier. Of course, you don't want to carry your gun in a bag. That's stupid. It's the same concept of a woman carrying a handgun in her purse. You know, it's just, it's going to get snatched up. If someone robs you, it's the first thing to go. It's not a good place to have it. It's too hard to get it out of. You want to keep that sucker on you at all times. It's also important to have a get home bag, like I said, and I already described all this. This is my notes. I just looped around in my notes. A lot of people have 3 days. What you want to have in your get home bag is, you know, stuff like food and water, maybe a spare mag or two, stuff to kind of build a shelter, like a tarp. You want compasses, local maps, and one thing is sunscreen. I don't have that. I think I said that earlier, but I don't have sunscreen. I need to get sunscreen. That's going to wrap it up on that one. Then we're moving to first aid kits. Now, I am not a doctor. I am not a first responder. So I'm going to keep it really simple. I'm going to say this. Pack some Band-Aids and Neosporin, and you can take over the world. There's hundreds of lists online on how to build a first aid kit, and the best thing I can say is just go check those out. The pre-made ones you can get at Walmart aren't worth a lot, but it's something. I'm not going to tell you what to do it because I'm not a professional. It's not my area. That's something you need to research on your own, and you need to take care of.
And that just about wraps up the whole prepping thing going on here. Now, of course, this is not everything. There are a million things I skipped over, especially with each topic that we went over. You know, having a garden, having animals for food, chickens, other ways of self-defense. There's a lot of stuff that we skipped over. Fitness, because that's a major part of prepping. There's just a lot we skipped over. And maybe I'll come back. If you guys like this, I'll come back and do an entire episode on each topic. You know, expand on this a little bit more. I really enjoyed this. Usually I'm reading off of a notebook to help me speak better and to, you know, just keep on topic more. But I like this. It went a lot longer. This one I'm not going off of a piece of paper. So maybe you guys like the longer stuff. I think the last podcast was like 8 minutes long. You know, it was really short. But I like this longer format. I like going, you know, winging it a lot better. It seems funner. Hopefully you guys like it. If not, let me know. I don't want to put out stuff you guys don't like, you know. But just let me know. I'm going to start cutting it short here because we are getting close to 40 minutes. One thing I wanted to hit on was a couple of towns over from me, there is a restaurant that tried to open back up. And the local police department shut it down. And they said, you guys cannot open up. This is violation of governor's orders and, you know, dumb stuff like that. And it sucks because it's a small business, family-owned business that's trying to open its doors and trying to feed its family and help the community. And I think it's just full of shit when these small businesses are having a hard time opening up and they're not being allowed to open up because they're non-essential. But places like Walmart can fucking thrive with this stuff. I mean, it's disgusting. I mean, seriously, like, try not to get worked up here. When you look at these small businesses that are everyday people trying to support their family and they're being told by the government, no, you can't do that. But places like Walmart, that is like breeding grounds for this virus. I work in a grocery store. I see the disgusting people that come in that place. They have limits on the amount of people that come in the store, but it's not doing anything because you have 60 people on one aisle. That's a little bit of exaggeration, but you got like 20 people on one aisle, seriously. And they're shoulder to shoulder looking at canned food. But these small businesses can't open up to support their family. That's a problem. That's a serious problem. And I saw a thing online, I think on Facebook. Yeah, I was on Facebook. I don't use Facebook very often. I can't stand it. But a guy was posting on there, one of the local news stations had posted about it. And a guy on there was saying, let's just get 100 men and go down there with guns and stand out there. And when the locals show up and say, you can't be doing this, this is a violation of the government's orders, we'll stand our ground. And look, that's all well and dandy. That's what the people did in Texas with that hair salon place. But it shouldn't be coming to that. I know I post on Instagram all the time, and a lot of it's just being funny. A lot of it's over-exaggerations. I'm full for liberty. I'm full for the people's power. But it shouldn't be with violence. We shouldn't be forced to do it through violence. That's not how this should be. And, of course, I want to go through the diplomatic way first. And I hope it will. And I hope this is something that will be able to come over. But you're getting a lot of peaceful men that's getting pushed to violence because they're not able to feed their family. And I know that most of you guys agree with that. I'm sure a lot of you guys are like, no, violence! Rah, boogaloo! But no, we don't want violence first. It never ends good with violence. It's not something that we want. It's not something that anyone should want. I guess we'll end it here. That's my little rant for the day. But I want to thank you guys for tuning in. I want to thank you guys for helping support the page so much and helping it grow. It means so much to me. It does. I started that page as just a little fun thing for shits and giggles, and it's really blown up. We're getting ready to hit 8,000 followers, and you know I get tens of thousands of engagement every day, and now my posts are getting, like, the least ones have 1,000 likes on them, and it's just something never, it's something I would never imagine. It's just cool. It really is, because I didn't expect it to grow the way it did, and I'm really happy it did, because I've got to interact with a lot of really interesting people and meet a lot of, or not, you know, really meet, but get to see a lot of other people that I wouldn't have got the chance to see what they post if I didn't go down this route. And I'm glad I did. And I really enjoy doing this stuff. And my apologies, I haven't made a podcast in, oh my God, it's been over a month now. Things got busy. Things got hectic. But I'm back now. Hopefully we'll be able to do this some more. I'm going to start doing the podcast weekly. I'm going to try and start streaming some. I don't know if you guys enjoyed that or not, but just on Twitch, if I do it, might try it. Might do some single-player games, mostly just to hang out with you guys and to interact with you guys. I really enjoy that stuff. But, again, thank you guys for tuning in, and have a good one.
You can create this illegal weapon. This is a ghost gun. This right here has the ability with a 30 caliber clip to disperse with 30 bullets within half a second.